In the last year, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has faced scrutiny over ethics, from the Bridgegate scandal to travel expenses paid for by wealthy friends. New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz examines the state of ethics in Christie's New Jersey and finds promises that have not been kept.
1 year ago this week, an internal investigation revealed that the lane closure scheme at the George Washington Bridge could be traced to actions by employees working for Christie. The governor was contrite.
It has been my resolve from the beginning to learn from this and to do whatever we can to be better, to be a better governor, to be a better staff, and to be a better administration. We owe that to the people of New Jersey, and that's what I will attempt to deliver.
Christie accepted the recommendations of the internal Bridgegate investigation. The first dealt with an issue familiar to those following Hillary Clinton's latest controversy, email. Bridgegate showed the problems that occur when government employees do not treat email as public documents. One Christie staffer ordered an underling to delete an incriminating email, while another email was illegally withheld from a records request. The famous time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee missive was sent from a Gmail account to a Yahoo account. On his call-in radio show on 101.5 FM on Monday night, Christie said the email policy in his office had strengthened because of Bridgegate.
Since the incidents of January of 2014, we have required as a policy in the governor's office that everybody maintain a state email account and that you conduct business on that state email account, and if you happen to be using your private email account at some point, that you copy your state email account with whatever you do.
In fact, the published email policy given to state workers hasn't changed despite the recommendation from the March 2014 internal Bridgegate investigation. A spokesman said all governor's office employees now get legal guidance to restrict work email to their government accounts, but he wouldn't release a copy of what that guidance is. Personal email addresses are still sometimes used for government correspondence. Christie's Bridgegate attorney, Randy Mastro, made a second major ethics recommendation after releasing his internal investigation. The governor should hire an ethics ombudsman and a chief ethics officer.
The ombudsman would be a senior statesman of unquestioned integrity and independence to report directly to the governor and to issue periodic reports to the public.
For the ombudsman, Christie hired Seton Hall Law School Dean Patrick Hobbs. He has yet to issue a public report, as Mastro recommended, nor has he rewritten the email policy, as Christie promised. For his $76,000 annual salary, the law school dean doesn't work in the governor's office. Christie's spokesman said he meets with employees, attends ethics trainings, and is available by email and cell phone to answer ethics questions. Hobbs refused interview requests over the last several months, but he spoke to NJTV when he was first hired.
I think everyone would agree, including the governor, that there were failings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the situation that we have today. And the governor is determined to avoid that.
The ombudsman is supposed to be independent, but Hobbs served on Christie's transition team after his 2009 election, and Christie is an alum of Seton Hall Law School, which Hobbs runs. Years ago, as U.S. attorney, Christie secured a controversial legal settlement that called for a company to endow a $5 million professorship at Seton Hall on ethics. And once, Hobbs even asked Christie for a favor.
2-point Villanova lead.
He requested that Christie call Coach Kevin Willard and recruit him to Seton Hall's storied basketball program.
Teague just ripped it away from him.
Christie's recruitment pitch apparently worked. Willard was hired. A governor's spokesman said recruiting the basketball coach was about Christie's civic pride, not a favor to Hobbs. As for the $5 million professorship, the spokesman said it was not the governor's idea. Hobbs isn't the only new ethics watchdog. After Bridgegate, Christie hired Heather Taylor for $115,000 a year to work as chief ethics officer in the governor's office. She has presented 4 sessions to the governor's staff called Ethics Guidelines Related to Political Activity, and she addresses employees' questions about outside employment and conflicts of interest. But despite these investments in improved ethics, 2015 began with a brand new ethics controversy involving Christie's free trips and free tickets to Dallas Cowboys football games.
He's part of our mojo.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones covered the tens of thousands of dollars in costs. Christie said Jones is a friend, and so he didn't need to report the trips as gifts. And Jones defended the gifts on ESPN.
I want him there all the way. I'll tell you, if he's got enough mojo to pull this thing out, he ought to be looked at as president of the United States.
But Jones's company has a lucrative contract advanced by Christie himself at the Port Authority. Critics said it was inappropriate to accept expensive gifts from someone with a government contract. The job of safeguarding against such potential quid pro quo falls not to the ombudsman nor the chief ethics officer, but a separate entity, something called the Governor's Advisory Ethics Panel. And that's where the third set of ethics questions arises. By law, this ethics panel is supposed to advise the governor, investigate the governor, and even fine the governor. But Christie essentially disbanded the panel last year after he appointed both of its members to other jobs. One, John Degnan, is now his chairman at the Port Authority. The other, his close college friend Richard Moroz, was appointed last September to head the powerful Board of Public Utilities. At the time, I asked Christie what would happen to the advisory ethics panel now that he had plucked its only two members for other positions.
If he's confirmed, then I will repopulate it with other folks. They provide me ethics advice, so if there are things, issues that I want to go beyond the chief counsel to get advice on ethics, I go to those folks and they give me advice that they've done, as the same panel has done for a number of governors before me.
Except Christie didn't get any advice about going to Cowboys games because the panel didn't exist in its legally mandated form for most of last year. The panel was not repopulated as promised. Only after the Jones controversy, which got national attention, were new members appointed. One of its two members is Peter Venero, a former Supreme Court justice who has been tapped by Christie for four different temporary positions in the administration, including as the lead lawyer defending the governor's education cuts in court. Here's Venero in an interview at Rutgers University last year.
The bottom line is, when a governor leans forward and asks you to do something, you say yes. I mean, that's kind of the basic code to live by.
That leads to the fourth weakness in ethics controls, the practice of appointing allies. Last month, Christie named to the State Commission of Investigation one of his closest former aides, Rosemary Iannacone, who had acted as his office manager and scheduler since before he became governor. She was subpoenaed in the Bridgegate affair and has since retired. She will make $35,000 a year in the 10-hour-a-month job investigating political corruption and other matters. The seat that she fills on the State Commission of Investigation? It was vacated by Patrick Hobbs, the Seton Hall Law School dean who became Chris Christie's new ombudsman. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.
To hear more from Matt and keep up to date on the most powerful man in New Jersey, listen to the Christie Tracker podcast at WNYC.org or subscribe on iTunes.